First Peter chapter 4. Now, last week we went through how to identify maturing Christians. But we'll pick up with verse 12 and go through verse 14. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And the scripture says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." Amen. See, God's instruments of growth are threefold. The first one is Christian life begins with spiritual birth. If you've not been born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. If you've not been born again, you have no hope in eternity, but damnation. If you've not been born again, you won't see all those other ones that have gone on before you to heaven. If you've not been born again, you do not have the Holy Spirit and you can't do the things of God. You must be born again. Right. In John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, this was Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Right. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" It's kind of like what Peter's writing here. It's strange. These things are strange to people who are uneducated. They're ignorant about God and the Bible. Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Folks, the one thing we need to understand is Christ and him crucified. What is he to you tonight? Do you know him as your Savior? If not, you need to. If not, this is another opportunity for you to come to a saving knowledge of him. God's plan is not to stay babes. We've seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, don't act like babes. Go beyond that. It is to grow, and not just to grow in a physical sense, but grow in a spiritual sense and be mature. For Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Till we all come in unity of the faith." This is talking about the church, but it applies to us. "And of the knowledge of the Son." You can't know this unless you know him. You can't know him unless you've been born again. Right. "Unto a what? Perfect man." One who's complete in Christ. "Unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Folks, Christ is our yardstick. Christ is our measurement. Christ is our goal. Christ is our image. We have to measure up to that. We can't do it on ourselves, but we can do it through God and his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See, that is God's plan. It's not to stay babies. It's not just to get fire insurance. It's to do something with the salvation that we have. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you have to work to be saved. That means you work because you are saved.
Right. Amen.
See, God uses several things. He uses the Bible. You can't grow unless you read it.
Right.
He uses the church. If you get along in here, you got a good start to get along out there and to do what God wants us to do. And then other believers to mature us. He takes all of us together and we're members, all of one body. He fits us all together so we function together. But there are too many of us that are dysfunctional. There are too many churches not doing what they're supposed to do. Folks, that can't be us. That can't be us. The last thing in God's toolbox that he uses is trials. And God also uses trials to bring us to maturity. So, why do Christians have trials in the first place? Well, first thing's expected. It's expected. In verse 12 here, as we go back, what does it say? It says, "Beloved, think it not strange." I just don't understand why these things happen to me. I'll tell you what I know is when I make a decision for God, there's tests coming. And sometimes you say, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to put up with all this trouble? It will be worth it all. Amen. When we see Jesus. Yes. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face. Yes. All sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen.
Folks, we need to do that. So we can't think it strange that these things are going to happen. My students in math think it's strange that I assign homework. They say, why are you assigning homework? So you get practice, so you get better. Well, I don't want to do it. Then you'll never get better. And you won't pass this class. Folks, the same thing works in the spiritual life. If we never open God's Word, if we never try, if we never have any sort of opportunity to practice what we believe, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. Christians have trials because we live in a sinful world. See, we are part of a fallen race. The only thing that makes us different from the other man on the street that's lost is that we're redeemed.
Amen.
That's the only difference. That's the only difference. In Romans chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, it says, there is none. Talk about mankind in general. The lost condition, his depravity. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's today, folks. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And that's the world we live in, folks. You know, 50, 60 years ago, people had some sort of moral compass. But that's out the window now. And if we're not light, the darkness is great. The darkness is great. We live in a world of turmoil and natural disasters. Over 25,000 souls gone into eternity from a single event. And we've seen this happen over and over and over. Folks, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. The issue is, Christ says about the end times, He says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Hey, earthquake in Oklahoma. It's flat. You know, ridges and stuff there. But they had one. There's earthquakes. Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. And famines. And pestilences. And fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven. Folks, this is coming. This is the world that's getting used to the environment for the Antichrist to thrive in. And we've got to stand for the truth. Because if we don't, who's going to say it? Who's going to say it? We live in a world of crime, sickness, and death. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says this, but evil men and seducers shall what? Oh, it's all going to get better. It's not what my Bible tells me. My Bible says shall what? Wax worse and worse. Folks, what was unthinkable 30 years ago is the norm today. Unfortunately, what people said, it'll never happen in a church, is here now. What people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing this, and God's okay with it. No, He's not. No, He's not. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But here's the reality. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment day? Today in our invitation song, we said, I'll go with him to the judgment. Where he leads me, I will follow. Folks, we have trials because we live in a sinful world. We have trials because that's how we're tested in our faith. That's how we learn to practice what we believe. We have trials because of the power of Satan. One of the most remarkable things that happened to me Thursday in my Algebra 2 class is they asked for questions. And they said, what does the Bible mean about this? And I was, yeah. That's like sick. And they said, what about all these demons and all this other stuff? And I said, you believe in demons? And yeah, I said, absolutely. Absolutely. And I said, because that's the conflict in the world today. And we talked about prayer, we talked about Daniel, and we talked about how he prayed for 21 days and how Michael the archangel was fighting against the prince of Persia. I said, that stuff's real. The ones who are spiritually minded and understand God's word will understand it. The ones that don't basically think it's a Hollywood movie. But it's real. Folks, we have trials because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Folks, those three things are spiritual battles. Not flesh and blood. They may be manifested through flesh and blood, but that's not the power behind it. Against spiritual wickedness and high places. Well, if you say that's never going to happen, you're blind. Because it's happening today. See, why do Christians have trials? Because it's natural. Why do Christians have trials? Because we live in a sinful world. Why do Christians have trials? Because of the power of Satan. See, Christians are on a collision course with the world. It's going to be head on, folks. It's not going to be a glancing blow. Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. See, Jesus warned of this conflict. In John chapter 15, verses 18 and 20, he says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, I don't want to be hated. Fear not. Fear not. Listen this morning. God's got a promise. Come to him. Come who you're thirsty. Come who's hungry. Come get your soul satisfied so you can deal with this.
Right. Amen.
If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. Folks, if you have no conflict with society, there's something wrong. If you just totally agree with everything that's out there right now, you need help.
Come on,
you need Christ.
Amen.
And you need to follow him and his Holy Spirit. You need to follow the truth.
Amen.
If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Oh, those disciples just had a great time after Christ was ascended. Yeah. They were slain. They were put in prison. Remember, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Think it not strange that this is happening. If they kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Many have suffered and died for Christ. We don't see it in America, but it's happening all over the world. The Old Testament saints In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 40, that was another thing. Well, what's paradise? And we talked about that. We talked about heaven, and we talked about hell, and we talked about the three heavens. It was great. It was great. But in Hebrews 11, verses 36 through 40, it says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Here, John the Baptist. "Of whom the world was not worthy," because this world is not my home. I'm a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
"And everyone who believes in Christ is a citizen of heaven also. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise." They were looking forward to Christ. "God had provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." But you know what happens in the next chapter? Because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Run the race. Let's get rid of the sin. Let's do all this other, and let's look to Christ. Let's look to Christ. So why do Christians have trials? Because we're on a collision course with the world. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If you have the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in you." Why the Christian trials are different? Why is it on a? Because it's on a different level. See, here's this difference. The first one is this, and what Teresa said tonight: we do not suffer alone. We do not suffer alone. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says this: "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may what?
Boldly
say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear." That's a choice we have to make, folks. "I will not fear what man shall do unto me." In verse 13, we become partakers of Christ's suffering. He says, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering." It's not strange. It's expected, and it's coming. You need to be ready for it. You need to be prepared for it. You need to have faith for it. You know, Paul said, "That I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings." So understand, when we go through trials, we don't go through trials alone. God's with us. When we're suffering, we need to understand that Christ suffered too. And if we're suffering for righteousness' sake, amen. Amen. You know, we could even find joy when you're in jeopardy. I won't go there, but we know about Paul and Silas singing in prison. We know that Paul had hope when he was there. Peter and John were asleep, and God delivered them. Even the Hebrew children, you know, when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, "We're not going to compromise our faith, because God will deliver us. And if he doesn't, it doesn't matter, because we'll be with him anyway." You know, Paul said, "For me to die is Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There is a design in our difficulties. Folks, we should not be looking at the circumstances of our difficulties. We should not be looking at that. We should be looking at the content of the trial and seeing what message God has for us in it. Because every trial we go through is a spiritual test. Finally, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let, that means have it. Let patience have its perfect work. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know. Folks, if we know something, we ought to live like we know it.
Right.
Okay? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The first will for God for you is to be saved. The second will of God for your life is to look like Him and act like Him. But you can't do that unless you're growing, unless you're maturing. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We need to understand that once we're through a trial, comes glory. After all our trials will come glory. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." But you know something? We know that first part of the verse. But look at the next part of the verse. "If so be we that we suffer with Him, that we may" what? "Be glorified also," or "also glorified together." See, Paul got it. Paul had the problem with the thorn in his flesh. He says, "I rather glory in my infirmities that God's, the power of God will rest on me." He said, "I rather glory in that stuff." And then he goes on here in verse 18. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So, why Christians' trials are different? Because we do not suffer alone. Because we be partakers of Christ's suffering. We can even find joy in jeopardy. There is a reason for our trials. It's to grow us. There is a reason for homework. It's to get better. And after our trials will come glory. Lastly is how mature Christians react to their trials. That shows your level of maturity. The trials are there, but how you get through them is your level of maturity. Here in verse 14, it says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." Oh, that's kind of a contradiction. "But blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Happy, even when reproached. God's with us in our trials. You know, all that prosperity gospel out there. Folks, I have financial struggles, and you probably do too. But you know something? How we manage those things is a trial. We need to look through the prism of God's Word and know that anything that happens to us is an opportunity to glorify God. "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed," or "whatsoever ye do, do all for the" what? "Glory of God." You know, sometimes we make poor financial decisions. Don't make another one. That's how we can be what? Good stewards. Sometimes financial conditions are out of our hands and we have to what? Trust God to provide. Financial trials teach us to be careful. Teach us to be good stewards. Teach us to give. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul's writing to this, says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also" what? "Careful, but ye lacked opportunity." See, we need to look for opportunities in every trial that we have in order to serve God and serve His people and serve His kingdom. You know, Christians may have trials concerning him. You know, Fanny Crosby, who we sing a lot of hymns, was blind. As I was looking and doing research for this message, this series of messages, this woman, Annie Johnson Flint, who lived at the turn of the 20th century, died in 1932. She had a terrible case of arthritis. It was debilitating. It just kept her crushed. She couldn't do anything. Yet she was a prolific writer. From her sickbed, she wrote this poem, The Red Sea Place. And look at how this person who could give up to all this, look at what she writes. She says, "Have you come to the Red Sea Place in your life where in spite of all you can do, there is no way out, there is no way back, there is no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with trust serene till the night of your fear is gone. He will send the wind, he will heap the floods when he says to your soul, go on. And his hand will lead you through, clear through, ere the watery walls roll down. No foe can reach you, no wave can touch, no mightiest sea can drown. The tossing billows may rear their crest, their foam at your feet may break, but over their bed you can walk dry shod in the path that your Lord will make. In the morning watch neath the lifted cloud, you shall see but the Lord alone. When he leads you on from the place of the sea to a land that you have not known. And your fear shall pass as your foes have passed. You shall be no more afraid. You shall sing his praises in a better place, a place that his hand has made." Amen. Written by someone whose writing was a painful task. But God gave her grace. Amen. In order to do that. Singing songs of people who cannot see, but God gives grace to write that. You know, health problems that we go through can help us to be a sympathizer and pray for those who are going through the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we should comfort those with the same comfort that we're comforted with. Christians may have trials concerning their families. That doesn't mean to give in. That doesn't mean to give up. That means to give God place. That means to give God place. You know, even the faithful often suffer in this area. And if you're going through some sort of family trial, I pray for restoration and for reconciliation. I pray that God will intervene. And God is greater than your trial. Amen. God is greater than all of our mistakes. God is greater than our sin. His grace is sufficient. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Give God the chance to do it. They tell us to rejoice. They teach us to rejoice in the family of God. Christians may have emotional problems. But we're supposed to cast our care on him, for he cares for us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are distressed but not cast down, perplexed but not astounded. All these things happen to us. Oh, folks, how we react to trials show how we are maturing as Christians. Do we have trials?
Yes.
No one wants them, but everyone will get them. That is just a reality. The issue is it making us better? Or are our trials making us more bitter? Are we following God? Or are we saying this is not worth it and turning our back on Him? Tonight, it's our choice what we're going to do from this point forward. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be better at going through trials. Give us, increase our faith. Help us to see You in everything that we do. Help us to glorify You in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to be partakers of Your suffering, Lord, for Your glory. We give You this time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. And we want Your Holy Spirit to work now. Amen.